Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. We thank you for the rain, O Lord, it cools the weather down a little bit for us. We thank you for grace. We thank you for this day, the Lord, we can gather together. And we know, Lord, as the earth turns everywhere, Lord, in the world, there are people of yours, Father, gathered in little groups here and there. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, to worship, to fellowship, and to hear your word, we pray, Father, you bless them all, Lord. We know, Father, you be gracious to those whom you will be gracious, Father. We know, the Lord, there are still those out there that are still wandering, Father. Like lost sheep, not knowing where they are going. And once we were all like that, Father. And you reach down thy hand, Father, showing your grace to us, putting before us, Lord, the gospel of Christ, and then you call us, come unto me, and be you saved. And when we heard the gospel, Father, we turn, we reach out to you, we cry unto you, forgive our sin, Lord. We repent, save us, Lord, from damnation, save us from the wrath that is to come. And you, Father, took us into your hand, and you embraced us in your bosom. And you call us sons and daughters. Amen. We thank you, Father. Amen. We bless the holy name. Amen. We thank you, Father. Blessed be the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For the destroying Father, we receive life, real life, eternal life, life of the Father. We thank you, Lord. We bless the holy name. We ask that now, Father, come break the word to us, Father. A little of things here and there, and the precious word of truth, Father. And make us, O Lord, better saints. Perfect your likeness, Father, in Jesus Christ. That's what your word was given for us, to live that life of Christ. We thank you, Father, asking now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. May be seated. Philippians chapter 4. Let's go quickly. And we go over to the verse 5 and 6 where we left off. We recap from there. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, let me say this here in first thing here, verse 6. What are the phrases? You know, I love to use King James Version because it's so mysterious in the way of expression. It's archaic, King James language, and being that it is also the Bible is translated word for word as best as they could. Practically, it's practically almost a word for word translation, not like what you have in modern day translation like Good News Bible or the Living Bible and things like that. So, and they try to stick to their original word for word translation, but the meaning sometimes, as the rabbi or the Jewish rabbi said, that when you translate the Bible into any other language, you will lose its nuances and its subtlety in its meaning, which is very true. So now here, look at the word here in verse 6, be careful for nothing. There are only two words here. In your translation, it's four words. But it's two Greek words here. How come he said, be careful for nothing? The ancient translation is be anxious for nothing. What do you mean by for nothing? Be anxious for nothing. How can you be anxious for nothing? When there's nothing, there's nothing. What do you be anxious for? So the subtlety is roars. Be anxious for nothing or be careful for nothing. Nothing here means actually is from the word not one thing. That's actually the Greek word, not one thing. So when he says not one thing, means it's nothing, right? So they translate nothing. And how do we get this meaning? It doesn't make sense. We just pause there. But if you look at the next clause or phrase, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. As I know, when I study this in the Bible, and I look at the Greek word a little bit, and because I want to see why the expression be careful for nothing. We always use that. Be careful, you know what I mean, for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So what the Bible here is, in complete sense, is that be careful not for anything that troubles you. In everything that troubles you, or anything that troubles you, just bring it to the Lord. So don't be anxious about this, about that. You see, that's interesting. So be careful for nothing, not one thing. Whatever you have, the 100 things that you're anxious for, don't be anxious for even one of those things. But in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Yeah. And when we have problems, how do you thank God for that? When you have problems, you don't thank God. It seems that, right? But we thank God. That's why I said, you read those two books that by now being courageous. In thank God because God has a purpose. You know, I want to tell you this, you know, since the last few weeks I've been suffering a lot. Because there's a whole lot of pain now. There's a whole lot of pain coming on my body. Alright? And even this morning I get up, there's a jab pain right on my ribs here, and it goes like that. And I find it hard to sleep almost every night. Practically, I would get up because of the pain around here, and then my abdomen, I think, you know, I cannot stretch back, I cannot arch back like this without the whole abdomen tightening. The muscle is so tight, and it hurts both sides. You know, and every morning I'll get up, either it's 3 a.m. in the morning, or 5 a.m., or even 7 a.m. in the morning. If I don't get up with a pain, a colic pain, and I can tell you it's so painful, and I have to curl up myself and turn around because there is a lot of bloating, a lot of gas, a lot of flatulence. You know, I have to let go of some gas, I will tell you it's so painful. And once it comes out, a little gas, at least I can get up and go to the toilet. And the whole day, once in a while, you have this pain right at the pelvic area. You know the pelvic bone you have? Just above it. And they were so painful. And I couldn't understand what this is, because I was thinking the only thing that happened was because of the solution, as I said. They probably have damaged my intestine. And it's, you know, I scoriate the place, and then I think that the food that I take, Some of the food, actually, as I said, it doesn't even, when you pass out, you can see the grains are there. So if I take anything that's grain, like oats and even grapefruit, I mean grapes, you know, the skin of the grape, just passed out, things like that. So the digestion wasn't so good, but it was terrible. Sometimes when I eat too much, the whole place is just hurting. And, you know, in the night, when you have this pain, you get up, and you just talk to the Lord, and sometimes, you know, like last night I got up, it was in my mind, as I said, you know, you meditate, and I want to tell the Lord something. Yeah, I was sitting on there, I just loved him, and so I want to tell the Lord something. It was in my mind. You understand what I mean? Recently, the Bengay, I was telling the Lord something, I want to request him for something. And I know that he was listening and just waiting for me to utter the word. And I just thought to myself, no, I'm not going to say that because he already knows about it, what I already talked to him about. So I don't want to ask him anymore. You know what I mean? He already knew about it. You know? But the pain is always, I always ask him, say, ease off the pain, ease off the pain. You know, chronic pain can be so bad that I can tell you, it's so sharp that if it doesn't move, you will be in groaning. You know? So now, you talk about this verse to me, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Why am I anxious? I don't know what's happening. Yeah, you know? So be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your request be made known. I'll make the request known to him already. And I just open my mouth and say, alright, thank you, Lord, whatever. I think one of the things that we have in our faith is that over the years, in fact, in our life, you just look back to your history of your life as a Christian. How many times have we complained to the Lord? I think we complain to the Lord more time than we praise Him. We only praise Him for the good things. Isn't that true? When anything happens, you say, oh, why this Lord? Why that Lord? You like a little bit, why this Lord? Why that Lord? Every night was really a challenge for me, getting up with this pain here and there. And I just have to sit down there. And when I want to pee, it takes a hard time to pee because of the pain that is there. It takes a little while before, you know. But the strange thing is, why am I always dying the pulpit? And the pain is not there. And there's one thing I don't know. At the pulpit, I don't feel the pain. When I get out of the pulpit after a while, I feel the pain. Before I come this morning, I feel the pain. But when I get to the pulpit, I'm okay. And there's one thing, the Lord is doing this thing, testing me or whatever. But I think I've been learning a lot from Paul, the apostles, the thing that he went through, he's relating to these saints in Philippi, of his experience, his feeling, his honesty, exposing himself, telling the truth about what he went through. And I learned from him that it's so very true. There's no point for us to complain at all, but just to request from the Lord, thanksgiving to the Lord, and just praise Him. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known. Supplication, yield. Yeah, I tell you that Paul, you know, I'm between two streets, right? Every time I had a pain, I get up, my mind in there says, Lord, just let me go. Just let me go. Because my heart started to, the regular beat was so fast, and it felt very hard to relax. And I was thinking that if I just get off this earth so I don't have to suffer anymore, it'd be wonderful. Because I get out every night with this pain and this thing, I have to go through all this. And God is teaching me, go back to the day when my son, my only begotten son, have to go through to the cross. And what Paul said, he, with joy, He went to the cross. And Paul said, in the cross of Christ, I glory. Wow. That's not why I said the Bible was written for us people. All these things that were recorded there, they are for the admonition. Our edification. To know what, not only what Jesus went through, but what the saints of God went through. And all those who are called into the apostolic ministry, into the mission field, many of them suffer greatly. Really. And as Paul said, you know, in the other part of his epistle, he said that the apostles, they were the ones that they will make a sacrifice for the world to see. Of all the fivefold ministry, the apostles have to suffer a whole lot. Really, they do. Those who actually went to the mission field. That's why I'm praying always for Brother Nice, for those who are out there in the mission field. They are not easy. They sacrifice the Lord in their life. Not that easy. But I thank God for that. So, let your moderation be made known unto all men, known unto all men. The Lord is at hand, be careful for nothing, be like Job. You know, I look at Job, wow. I mean, he was a man who was true evil, a man who loved God, worshipped the Lord. And then one day, all the beggings are coming, one after another. Wow. Think about it. First thing is something happened to the, I think it's to the cattle or something, and then the sheep, and then his feet, and then the servant all died. Someone came to report to him. Well, here one news. And then after a while, another one came along, finally with the news of all his soul were being destroyed. And all the servant and someone came. I mean, how did he feel? He must be in a state of shock, I guess. Well, okay, the first lot, all right, it's just animal. Second, another animal, the servants are all gone. Hear about his children not dying. And yet what did he say? The Lord given, the Lord taken away. And I wonder, you know, if I'm Job, and if you're all Job, how would you all react to it? How would you all react to it? How would we react to it? Huh? Your property is gone. Alright, one thing. Maybe. Huh? Your house is burned down. Okay, one thing. Next moment you hear your children died, destroyed by a building collapse. They died. How do you feel? You probably go under your on the floor and you pay the floor and think, no! Lord, why this thing be? Take away my children, this and that. You know, we get very upset. I tell you, it's human nature. And this moment in time, is maybe we don't do it. Maybe we don't do it. I often pray for my children. I pray for my, the kids. You know, pray for Adam. When I reflect back, I think about your other children. Those that are not here. Those who are adult, not kids. Your son who are married, your daughter who are married. When I get up and now with the pain, I think about all this. I meditate, I pray for them. Because they are our loved ones. We are tied to them so much that we know, we look at the problem in the world, we read about the Bible, what happened in the Bible. And these are examples for us. What then? Now, if you were Job, how would you feel if something happened to your family? Let your moderation be made known unto all men. Be as Job. On an even keel. Not getting very upset about this. As he said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. I believe my children, I believe my grandson, I believe every one of you here, if something happened to you all and you're gone, I can only say one thing. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Because this life we live will pass. It will pass. Even just to read the paper in the last 2 days, 2 days ago, about the firemen and not in your certain time, I cried. You know, when I was young, I don't. When I get older, because I'm more involved with the Lord in the Word, I get more attached to the Lord, I can feel how human beings would react and how He feels towards us. And I began to wonder about agape. Agape cut Paul all these many years. If it wasn't for agape, Paul would not be like this. Do you understand what I'm saying? That love of God. That's what the Bible Paul says, that nothing overtaken us, no trial, nothing the Lord allows. That we were not able to cross. But we will be able to cross. I said that because He knows how much we can take it. He will not give you more than what you cannot take. He knows that. And He will try you. Yes. Nobody in other countries, someone you have to know, all those in Africa, whether it be in India or whether you're in the Philippines. Don't look at Singapore as being a rich country. We have our challenges. I told them many times. We have our challenges. You know, Brother Andrew Peter was with us recently, and there was something, I can't remember what it was, and he was asking, because of the price, the cost, he said, is this price okay for you people, you know, and it's terrible? He said, yes. Because when you look at the price, the cost of it, if you calculate it back to the Zambian dollars, it's too much. But here we can take it because it's our currency, it's high. Now you take a lunch for $10 nowadays, at least almost $10. I mean, unless you eat some simple food like $3.50 for some rice and vegetable, $3.50. But the proper meal you take for lunch is not $10. Even $3.50 here, a simple meal, rice and one vegetable or two vegetables, and perhaps a small piece of meat. In other countries, wow, that's a lot of money. Probably $3.50 could feed the whole family of four or five. You know. So the world we live in, it is not fair. It's not equal. The rich, the poor, and then you have the super rich, the economy in other countries are all different. So we have to be contented with what we have, wherever you're born. I was watching this documentary, well, you know, an African called Marshall. It's about an African man, and this is a true story back then in the 1940. He passed out as a lawyer and taking cases for black people who are mistreated, who are always being arrested by white policemen and accused that they are committing this crime and that crime. And this was a story of a black man who was a servant to the a servant to a rich man's home, and the wife accused him of him raping her. Rich family, rich husband and wife, accused the servant, a black man, she accused him of raping her. And of course, what do you expect in a society in a certain part of America? You don't stand a chance when you're black.
You know, no, when I watch this documentary, I feel very upset. I feel that if I have the power, I would deal with all these whites.
But then I was saying, not all whites are like that. Of course I know that.
But in certain part of America, huh? They are very more extreme. The community is very bad. And he fought, this lawyer fought all the way, and he became one of the best lawyers in America. Because he did a lot of justice for the black. And I was thinking, how did the white people treat the black? And I wondered, if you are born black, what happened then? If you are white, yeah, but what happened if you are born black? You know, the thing about human being is such that, oh, you know, I remember my father. He was Chinese, of course, I'm a Chinese. And to him, a Chinese race is special. Not the black or the brown. And you know how it is about the thinking or mentality? Because the whiter you are, you are more supreme. The darker you are, you are the lowest caste. And I was just thinking, you know, more than I understand. The human race, our thinking. We are all born. We don't know what we are born to be. We didn't choose to be a Chinese. I didn't choose to be a Chinese. Do you? And if you didn't choose to be born, that is why when parents give birth to children, they are responsible for the children, not the children responsible for the family. The children did not ask to be born. You want children. So you are responsible for the children. And if you raise the children right, the children will reciprocate with love. Is that right? So I didn't ask to be born a Chinese. I could be born an African. I could be born right in Somalia. Is that not true? I could be born right in the places like Liberia, where there's a whole lot of problems. Ivory Coast, perhaps. Sudan. Eritrea. Ethiopia. I could be born there. But when I look at people like John Mark, number one, brother John Mark, he was really charcoal black. And what did God do for him? God chose him and sent him out and an apostle for his own people. Huh? You see, God's not a respecter of person. I realize that. But carnal people, sinners, even people who call themselves Christian, white people, the KKK, the supreme race, the racist group up there in the past. I mean, they are still today. The world will not change. And it's going to get worse. And Paul is getting us to the place where we should have a proper thinking. Be moderate. And that's why I told last week, what we have, humility, consideration for others, zeal in the service of the Lord, and consecration, and lastly, most of all, is the sincerity. That's why. Verse 7, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. I like the word keep here, you use the word keep, but in the actual Greek word translation, it means a garrison, fortify. Shall fortify. You know, keep is one thing. Fortify means, you know what a fortress is? A garrison is well protected. So fortify your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Oh, the peace of God surpasses all understanding. You know, I guess you all through when you go through all the trouble that you have gone through, yet after a while you get all frustrated, upset a little bit here and there after you
sit quiet and think about. Then you find that the peace of God is still there. It doesn't go away. If something like Job, things that happened, you felt like Job was able to say, well, the Lord give, the Lord take it away. Because I believe that Job has a special relationship with God. Huh? He had a special relationship with God. And even the Satan came around after he did all that to his children. Satan is not. You know, Satan does not stop troubling us. And then he put all these boys on Job. I mean, they're not just a boy here on the butt, you know, or on the shoulder. All his body. You just imagine, how do you lie down to sleep when you have boys all over your body? And you have to sleep on, you have to sit on a pile of ash to soothe the pain. You probably sleep on a pile of ash. And yet, in all that, oh my, he didn't get upset with God, and you know what I mean, and curse God and die. But I said, why don't you just do it and be done away with it? Huh? Why? In all the things that happened to him, all that, I guess after, you know, he would sit down and the peace of God is in his heart. And I believe that when we get upset with things about that happened, I believe that after a while you sit down, you realize something. Because God is in control. Even God took away your child, took away your property, took away your precious one, and you are left alone. Yet the peace is there. Satan cannot take that away. He can't. But God is fortified by God's. Finally, brethren, you know, when one thing about this, our heart being 45, there's one thing here. When you after you cool down from all your being upset, your frustration, the Spirit of God will speak to you. And what Paul here is trying to tell us is so very true. Things that are good that comes your way, we thank God. But things that are bad that comes our way, we have to trust God. Right? Yeah. I mean, Brother Henry, thank God for whatever, you know, happened to him with all these business things. He's so happy. But when things don't go right, trust God. We have to trust God. What can you do? Because you are not in control of your life. If you want to control your life, then God is not in control. You cannot say, I want to drive my life this way, that way. Then God cannot drive. I remember the time when Brother Jackson came to Singapore, he told us a story of when he went to India the first time too. Sitting behind a taxi, register, the driver in an Indian taxi. You know, when you've been in India, you don't know how crazy they drive. Right, brother? The Indian driver are really crazy. They are good drivers, but when you go in the car, you're sitting on a taxi, you'll probably be gripping something. Yes, I was in a taxi like that too, and it passed through between two vehicles just like that. One came this way, just zoom. And so I was in the car, I said, whoa, just 3 inches. And Roger was saying that the driver was driving like that. He says, oh, the driver may be controlling the car. You know, I'm controlling the driver and God is controlling the whole thing. Yes, so our life is in the hand of God. You are in a plane. The pilot is flying a plane, right? But God is in control of the life. Now, I got a memo when I came back from Lusaka, I believe. And then we were at, I don't know which airport, Ethiopia, right. We were in Ethiopia. What's the capital of Ethiopia now? I keep forgetting. No, I can't remember. Anyway, I was sitting there, plane back to Singapore. And it was delayed. It was delayed. We were wondering what happened. I was sitting there and in the airport looking out, you know, the airport, you have this glass window. And of course, the cheap thing, where you board the plane, okay? And then you can see the plane outside there being serviced, and I was watching the plane being serviced, and all the worker was washing back and forth, washing back and forth, and under the wings, one of them was trying to figure out how to do this and that, under the wing. So I was watching, wow, what's going on? And I see one of the worker came rushing with a trolley, you know, and then flipped through a kind of book. I don't know what he's looking to, or how to do with it. And then the pilot was in the cockpit, you know, he was so fed up, he looked up the window. The signal, said, what, we are going? You know, ask him to, you know, signal. So the worker, okay, he screwed back something under the wing. Next few minutes, flight so and so, what's flight number such and such, ready for boarding. I said, wow, really? I was working and they put the trolley away. Put it away. We went in, we bought. The plane took off. Took off, and I was sitting near the wing. But I couldn't see because the window was blocked. Okay, the window was closed, I couldn't see under the wing. Something was in the window that was a problem. The plane took off, and I was so tired, I went to sleep. We are supposed to go to Bombay. Alright? If you are from Ethiopia towards Bombay, I was so tired when I sleep. I think about an hour or so later, I couldn't believe. The announcement came, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to land. So, land, we're already in Bombay. I'm looking. No. So we're in about 2 hours. And when we were landing, in Eden. You know where Eden is? In Yemen. Yemen is a bad place. All those places that have a lot of war. We're going to land in Eden. Anyway, the plane landed. When the plane landed, Baba said, okay, we have to be in the plane for a little while. Okay, well, we need some servicing. So we were there, but the switch off everything. There was no aircon. Everybody was grumbling, it's too hot, stuffy. After 15 minutes, okay, the pilot said, everybody get out, go to the terminal. So when we walked down the step, because you were parked out there, away from you, on the tarmac. So as we walked down the step, I couldn't believe what I saw. The wing, you know, the plane, when you walk down the step, it's always on the left hand side of the plane. So walk down, and look, the plane was dripping fuel. It could have caught fire. I couldn't believe it. We went to the tarmac, to the airport, you know, to the lounge, you know, there was an empty airport actually. And there was only a little store selling TVs, and there were a lot of bullets all on the wall, the door. There's a lot of fighting over there. So we sat there and I looked at the plane out there. They were rushing with all the things. Their parts is in their part was brought to Eden. So they were fixing. And I said, oh my goodness, all the time we were flying with the dripping fuel. And you know where the jet is behind? Oh my. And then after a while there was an Indian man was sitting beside me, a young Indian man. So what's happening? I said, we could have died. The plane could have caught the plane. You know, he got scared, didn't he? I said, really? He said, yeah. Because the plane is dripping. Did you see that dripping? He said, yeah, I saw something coming out. I don't know what that is. He said, there's a fuel. You know, so after a while, they're fixing. I told him, I said, okay, now he's everything is fixed already, right? Just wait, look at the pilot. When the pilot put up the hand like this, you are going. Then he looked. After about 5 minutes, pilot put his head down up and we are all going. Everybody go back. So when I walk up there, I say, oh, they're really fixing. The part that they don't have, and the pilot just said, fine. You know, the little man pilots are very good. And I've seen one where the pilot did some crazy stunt. We were landing, he fell all down there, but because of the wind was from behind, he couldn't land. So he went down and up he goes. At the end of the tarmac, he had to turn and face the wind to land. You know what? He turned like this, and I was on the wing.
He could have, the wind could have almost touching the road on the tarmac, on the runway. You just imagine he did the sharp turn like this. So, oh, the wing, if the wing hits the tarmac, it got broke off. You know, I was thinking all that, and I said, oh, sometimes in the plane, I just relax, and oh, God's in the hand. You know, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of turbulence, this and that, please buckle, sit there. Passenger was scanned, and the whole lot of bending, people were dropping. Oh, just relax, I know. If I'm on a journey to do God's work, and I have to be there, I'll be there. You know, and that's one thing about it is, be careful for nothing. Perform a discount, trust God. And I learned it, especially only after the first time when I was in Uganda. I told you about that, when I'm supposed to catch my plane and entry to fly out early in the morning. And the brother made arrangement for the plane to come. And I was waiting. Oh my, I said, brother, when is it coming? I'm going to be late. Brother, God, you come. I mean, I'm, you know, you have to be there for a certain time, right? And I waited another 5 minutes. So I'm getting a bit edgy because I missed the plane, you know, coming to India, back to India. They have another program down there. Well, again, relax, it will come. And this brother, oh, they are so used to it, and 10 minutes later, still not here. I said, brother, just 10 minutes already passed. Oh, here come. And then finally, the bank commander rushed me to the airport. And I realized one day, it is so true. What can you do? If I'm dying, if the vendor doesn't come bring me to the airport, that means God doesn't want me to go to India. I missed the thing, right? There's one place, one time when I went to Butuan, when I flew from here to Manila to catch the plane to Butuan. What happened at Manila? Ladies and gentlemen, because there is a storm there in Butuan City, we are sorry we have to cancel this flight. I said, what? At first they told us to wait because they delayed because they want to let the storm. But then Brother Hoss called me and said, no, there's no storm here. So I realized that Philippine Airline, PAL, is cheating, you know. Because something wrong with the plane, they say the plane, there's a storm. And then when it comes to the flight, that is a Christmas season. The next flight is full. You cannot go to the next flight and they don't care. The whole load of more than 100 people, passengers, they all have crinkled. They got to wait for how many weeks, how many days later, or change on the plane. How do you get the kind of planes that you want? So the whole program out there was cancelled. You know, so I'm no choice. So God has His will. I don't know what was done, why they got cancelled the convention. He has reason. I don't know. All right. So God said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of great report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on this thing. How many points do you have here? Do you notice? Huh? Whatsoever things are honest, or whatsoever things are truthful, true, whatsoever things are honest, true. Three, whatever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely, that's number four already. Whatsoever things are good, report five. Is that five or six? Six, sorry, true, honest, just. I forgot the word just. Six. Whatsoever things. But all of these six, there are two more. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on this thing. Huh? Not all things have virtues. Not all things have any praise. But there be, if there be. 6 plus 2, 8 things already considered. The last two is more important, the virtue and the praise of things. Our relationship with people, our relationship with whatever happened in life, any of those things that have virtue, that we can praise God, then we do it. Paul is saying, compute those things, reason of those things.
Yeah, I mean, we have relationships, sometimes we have relationships that happens, we have problems. Yeah, Brother Gosha was sharing something, you know. The scarring, the poisonous scar, yeah, that's so true. We have interaction with people. And sometime over, you know, me, I have interaction with some ministers. And after so many years down the road, something happened that they took pot shot at me. It's not nice. I expect the person to be sincere. I expect this minister to be sincere, but no. They are super apostles to them. They are the super apostles. They make themselves somebody, their arrogance and become high. They will stick up against somebody when there was nothing that they can fight for. But they have to fight because they have to defend their doctrine. And in order to defend their doctrine, they have to put somebody down. And that's why I said between Paul and Peter has always been an issue. Even in some churches today, there have been arguments. Yeah, sometimes they have brought up the discussion among believers. What do you think, should Paul have done that? Yes, Paul had done that to Peter, rebuke Peter like this. Huh? And the whole church knows about it. You think about it. Why did not Paul rebuke Barnabas? Remember what the Bible said about what Peter did? He was eating with the Gentiles, right? And he was eating with the Jew, of course, but he was with the Gentiles. But when he see those, you know, elders, the big guys, important guys, those are converted from Judaism, whatever it is, they're holding so much to the law, they don't eat with the Gentiles. Never step into a Gentile's house. Because, you know, they are unclean. They are the pigs. Or maybe the dogs are in, not pigs. And here, Peter was doing that. And Barnabas, you know who Barnabas was to begin with in the beginning in chapter 13 of Acts? Barnabas was with who? Saul. And who was Saul? Paul. They were together. Then they separated, and Barnabas went with Peter. And what Peter did, went with the Gentiles, Barnabas was there, and when Peter saw all the super big guy from Jerusalem came, he withdrew. Barnabas followed the same. Why did not Paul rebuke Barnabas? Why not? Because Barnabas was not to be blamed. Because there's a leader who set the example. That's why Paul take that dinner with Peter. You know jolly well what you were doing. You have been eating with the Gentiles all this time, but you are fear for all those big guys from Jerusalem that you have to play these things, play this hypocrisy. And Barnabas was doing the same. And other Christians were looking at it. Wait, what is going on? You set the example, where is your sincerity? You have a zeal in service for God? Yes. You have humility? Yes. For all those points. You have consecration? Yes. You have consideration? Yes. But what about your sincerity? How do you walk in the Spirit of the Lord? How do you walk in your life? As Paul said in verse 5, let your moderation be made known to all God. To all men, right? Let your moderation be known to all men. So you're going to play hypocrisy like that. The Bible said, let your year be year, let your nay be nay. You don't want to do this or murder that. That's why I couldn't believe that even with all the Bible example here, and yet we have ministers who are so big, They don't even seem to put this in their heart. But I thank God for what He had done for me. The day when I came to the message, remember I told you when I read the text of God, and when the angel told you, if you would be sincere. Oh my. He said, Lord, keep me sincere. Let me be just as honest and sincere with integrity as I know how to be. Got me. And even when those ministers attacked me, I didn't say anything. When they gone too far, the people were deceived. And to this day, many of those people who followed those, they came to realize too that they were deceived. Wasted years. People that have been in following these big guys for 20 years or more. And they turned around, not only attacked that, but they attacked even the prophet. Because why? The super apostles, they were with Abraham. You're telling about. And there are people who attack me because I knew Brother Jackson. You know, I see that I did something bad. Even an Indian minister attacked me because now he has left Branhamism. All the years have been, he become so confused. I've helped him all those years when in India. I don't have been a master for maybe more than 20, 30 years. Suddenly he turned around and attacked me, attacked Brother Branham. All because of what Branham did. He said, why are you attacking me? But he used to become sarcastic. You and your beloved prophet. Wow. Somebody did, some leader did the wrong thing. If Paul did not stop Peter for that and rebuke him openly, what then? You think about it. That's one day when I realized Paul. There's a people still can argue about between Paul and Peter whether what Paul did is right or wrong. Consider one thing. The buck must stop somewhere. It's not down the line, it's up the line. The head. The country, all the problem in the world, in every nation, the problem is not the people. Basically, it's always the head, the government. And that's why when you look at the beast, he has the body, he has the head. And if there's a horn that controls, there's a problem. The son Nimrod, Remember Nimrod? The Tower of Babel represents his horn, his power. You got a picture of ancient time? Yes, he wears a headband with a horn. What the horn represents, you should know. His phallus, his manhood, his power. I'm not just the government, I'm the head of the government. You look at America today, democracy, who's running the show actually? So yeah, the government is not for the people, with the people, for the people, then what it is? Sadly. So whatever thing is true, yes, I think back about the thing that people have done to me, what the minister have done to me, it hurts. Yeah, what Brother Shah was so true. You want a scar to remain there? Good scar that remains, that's good. But bad scar that remains is bad. God knows the pain we went through. We have been through. I have been through many of it. And I'm still learning. The human mind is always thinking. You never stop thinking, right? Even now I believe that while I'm preaching to you, some of you are sleeping, some of you are looking at your Bible, but your mind is somewhere else in the world. Somewhere else in your own business mind. Somewhere else. It's not true. I know because I did that before. And that's not why when you see me, anybody preach, I always pay attention. I don't let my mind drift. I want you to think about this. But so Paul said, if there need be virtue thing on this thing, I think we're based thing on this thing. Compute reason. Yeah. Reasoning. Thinking about good things. Yeah, you think about frustrating things, cut it off. Anything that is leveling of good report, you want to hold to it. Paul is encouraging the people in the believer in Philippi. It's not an easy thing. Nothing is easy. Our Christian walk is not easy. That's why sometimes I think of this very Indian chief, the brother Abraham, brought the gospel to. I like that. In all his simplicity as a red Indian. You know, red Indian related to the wild animals and things like that. After became a Christian, after a certain time when he met Brother Abraham, and he complained to Brother Abraham. You know, he said, before I became a Christian, I don't have this problem up here in my eyes. What happened? I have this black dog and white dog fighting. You know, that's how they explain something. Huh? I have the black dog and the white dog fighting. And Brother Ben looked at him and said, which one wins? And he was honored to say that if I beat the white dog wins. If I beat the black dog wins. And that's fact. What do you want to feed? Our thought is always this way and that way, fighting. Yeah. That is the battlefield. Right? Mm-hmm. That's why there's a song that says, I said this, we are here today. We are not in a recreation room. You know what a recreation room is? We're not here to play billiard. We're not here to play pinball machine. We're not here to play mahjong. Or we're not here to gossip. As the song says, this is not a recreation room. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. A battlefield. You are here. The word of God is being preached. Your mind is working here and there. Satan is trying to throw thoughts. Satan is trying to feed you his seed. Remember, That's why when Eve took the seed that was sown to her by Satan through the serpent, she started entertaining. She started to reason. She started to think of it, started to compute it. But is there any virtue on that thing? Is there any praise? But the more she draw on it, she received the seed, and that seed is planted. Then there's the end of it. Because you will start to grow. Don't let it grow. Don't ever even take it and plant it. That's right. So in this world, we are all content with five senses. Right? People say, how the sinner sow his seed? It's through the five senses. What are your five senses? Your sight, your taste, your smell, your hearing, and your touch. Those five senses play on us. Satan will use that as channel, as gateways to your garden. You think so? The sight. Oh, wow. Sexy woman, huh? Oh, handsome man, man. Look at that. Whoa, whoa. So, what happened? Oh, maybe you go to the restaurant. What is good? Houston, very nice. Oh, Japan. Oh, yeah, Japan is. Yeah, what you be? Yeah. Oh, French one. That is good. You know, and then you see with your eyes, you start to smell it. Oh, smells good.
So you see all that, okay, it's okay to eat. But sometimes the craving comes that you want to eat more and more. The Bible says be moderate in all things. But you know, we can last after it, and we can overdo it and become a problem to our health.
Everything is being fed about us through the five senses.
That's true.
And on the opposite side of this five senses is a sense of God in the spiritual. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All you need is the word of God. Being spiritually tuned to the word, to God, the Spirit of God. And that's what Abraham said, without the Holy Spirit, you cannot understand God's word. And that is true. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is what? Virtue, happiness, kindness, godly kindness, right? Faith and all that. We want that.
Verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received, heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you.
Well, the King James sounds a little bit odd too. He says, these things which you have both. What we mean by both? You have both learned and received. Learn and receive is both. Heard and seen. In me is both. So actually it means that there are two sets. First thing you do, what Paul is, and this thing which you have learned and received. You have learned and received from me. Learn and receive from me the things I give to you. But the second set is you have heard and see what I do, then you do likewise. Paul not just teach them, but he set the example. So that's what we are saying. Practice what you preach. I mean, we call ourselves Christian, right? Practice what you propagate. Practice what you testify. You said that you are a Christian. Let me see that you are a Christian. You impart to others, right? The gospel of Jesus Christ. But if your life is not seen by them as one who talks about the goodness of God, how God changed your life in the gospel, then something is really wrong. So both, you learn, you receive, then what you do? The second part, what you heard and see in me. So one is the truth, the other one is the testimony of that truth. And you do it. Paul said, you see me, you do it as well. And the peace of God be with you. Then, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lack opportunity. I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Paul wrote this from the prison or his house arrest in Rome. And he's actually suffering. It's a lot of pain he has. And he's expressing this now. He rejoices. He still rejoices. No matter what, he rejoices. I just think about what Paul went through, and I was thinking about Job as well. Now, if you have boy, I mean, boy is not just little pimple. Huh? You know what boy is, right? Even as much as carbuncle. You know what a carbuncle is? It's a big boy. A boy could be the size of a thumb. Huh? But if you have kabanga, it could be the size of a, well, a tennis ball or a golf ball. And you have, if it swells up, you can see a lot of holes in it. Huh? It means where it's going to burst coming out, all the parts. And you're not just thinking of how painful that really is. If you just have one boy, it's enough to bother you. How many of you have bought before? Yes. Yeah, you know how painful that is, huh? How problematic that is. You want to squeeze out all the powers and all that's come out of it. But just imagine the job has always money. And just think about that. Think about what Paul had. All his body, the scar, the beating, the stoning. How am I scared to think about it? Because when I always think about Paul, I think about Jesus Christ. The whip, the 40 stripe. You know the 40 stripe? It's not just what we have in Singapore. A rotan, a cane. Huh? One whip, one stripe. But that one is a Roman whip. They call it cat or nine tail. One stick with three leather tongs that comes out. At the end of it, three hooks each, nine altogether. Think. And they whip, they're not just whip like this, they whip and they pull. You know how I say that? Whip and pull. And all the nine hooks hook onto there, you pull. I think that just one whip enough to make many of us collapse. Even the rotan in Singapore, the cane in Singapore, huh? When a person gets maybe 7 cane or whatever it is, sometimes only two weeks only, the person already collapsed. Could not take the pain. 40 stripes he got it. Not at all. And you just imagine all the flesh being torn apart. When the flesh is torn apart, when the skin is pulled off, you cut into the muscle, what do you think after it dries up? After it heals, all the scar. When you go to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, ask Him to show you His back. Ask Him to show you His back. And you will see the number of all the marking, all the scar. Think. Already Thomas just said, look, let me look at the nail pin in his hand. It's there. So when I asked in the past, we had discussion with some ministers, some believers. So but again, what is going to happen when we meet John the Baptist? Will he still have the scar around his neck? I said, of course. He says, why? Why? Why is the skull on him? He said, because he has a skull, right? Huh? The head separate from the body. That's the skull. The skull remains. But there's ugly, but again, the body is glorified body, why you have the skull? A glorified body has nothing to do with the scarring. The skull is a mark, a sign of martyrdom. Yeah. Think about it. When you guys meet Paul, you will see all those stripes. All those scarring that he had, to stoning, to beating. Right. And you know what? That's how we can sit in those in heaven, in the by and by, we can sit by the rivers. And we can, having a fellowship, we can think about the good old days. How that we live for the Lord. But we will not think about the bad things that somebody did to us. Hey John, how did you get this mark around here? And John will ask him, did you read the Bible, huh? You know what I mean? And what about the mark on your back, Paul? Or the scar? Then you would know. You see, we rejoice not because of the marking on it, but we rejoice because we have a glorified body, we have eternal life. That is just to show something. But I do not know what happened after that. For eternity after eternity, I do not know whether all that will disappear, everything will become different. Because you see, what happened is that after the millennium, new heaven, new earth comes in. What happened? Like those over there in other countries said, what happened? But again, after the new heaven, new earth is there, what happened? I said, well, read Revelation 23. And if people start turning to Revelation 23, I remember I once did hear somebody was turning to Revelation 23, sister, you, second, you were laughing. They were turning to Revelation 23. What happened after that? Nobody knows, because they ended in Revelation 20. What God is going to do beyond that is another thing, right? God deal with us now. That's right. Because God is the I Am. And when new heaven, new earth comes in, it ends. That becomes history. Then we enter into Revelation 23. Whatever that is, what God is going to do, I don't know. I get down. I'm looking forward to it. Because I have a long, long time to spend my eternity. Life without end. What glorious day there will be. What's up ahead with us, for us, I don't know. But I know I'm going to be there. How many of you are going to be there? Amen. You're not going to be there, yes. So we are looking forward. With this word, no, I hope you're just merely passing through. Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. So Paul said, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. I did not just rejoice in the Lord, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Even now, with all the pain that I'm going through, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Yes, when I have pain in the night, I get up, you know, I meditate, I groan a little here and there, because we're always groaning. This body is always groaning in pain. As Paul said, we travail, we are groaning. For what? For what? The body to be delivered, to be transformed. We don't groan because of any other thing. Because as the Lord, when is the rapture coming? When is this old wretched body going to be changed? We are waiting for that. The earth is rebelling. Look at all the signs up there, the typhoon and the earthquake, the raging sea, the droughts, the climate warming and all that thing. Look at the nation rise against nation. There's no end to it. Huh? And yet, in the days of Paul, Paul expected Christ to come. He was looking forward to it, but then one day he says, no, he's not coming yet. Until there is a great falling away from the faith. Huh? Until the Son of Man, but he says, it manifests. Yes, until he that prevents it from appearing be taken out of the way. And that is when the Holy Spirit is taken away from this world. And then the Son, I mean the man of sin will be manifest. And yet we are living in the last day. We are living in the last age. We are living in the last time. How close we are to the coming of the Lord. Think. Even about 2,000 years already. Remember the gospel was preached. The gospel went out in 33 AD. What year are we now? 2022. Coming next month? 2023. And people say, why is he coming? You say he's coming, but when? He has been for how many years now, huh? 2,000 years now, he's coming, but he's not coming. And sometimes, when I got up in the night, sometimes I was thinking to myself, hey, is really Christ coming by? You know, my human mind like to think about this and that. Is Christ coming by? Or is this whole thing a mythology? It's just fiction. Good books. About good living. You know, you wonder. You might start to think. Yeah, because why? The devil is sowing seeds. Why do you want you to believe?
Come on!
This Bible is just fiction.
Because you are waiting so long. But the more you look into the Word, the more you look into the prophecy of this end time, you say, hey, it has to come in my lifetime.
Adam, you say he's the last generation. There'll be no more another generation. And I believe that's so very true. That's, how could you believe there's another generation?
I can't.
And so when I see little child like Elizabeth growing up, what would the future hold if there is another generation? What would the future hold? You see the problem in the world today, how what would the future hold? I don't think there is anything good will come out of it. And we are living in a world that's more crazy with the technology. And you look at people like Elon Musk. What is he talking? What is he doing with Twitter and Instagram and all this? I mean, I don't know what's wrong with a man like that. We have people in the world today that just don't know what they are doing. And now we have the fourth wave is coming. COVID. Huh? After Germany passed through, the fifth one is catching up. Then in the middle of the year, the sixth is coming. They will tell you all this. It will never end. Because it will keep coming. That's what they tell you. The Bible says pestilences will be in end time. Right? It'll never end. But the problem is that how bad is the pestilences? We keep ourselves in the word of the Lord. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, with supplication, make a request known to the Lord. And Paul said, I rejoice greatly. Not a bit. I rejoice greatly. Because his hope was in Christ. Our hope is his coming. That's the blessed hope we'll be looking for. But if I should go, I know I'll be with him. Otherwise, I will see him when he comes. Yes.
Amen.
I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me have flourished again, wherein you were also careful, you were concerned, but you lack opportunity. Yes, your relationship, Paul, with the Philippi, the Philippine, Philippian. No matter, it's a Philippine. Philippian believers. The relationship was so real. You know, Paul, they really loved Paul so much. They knew Paul went through a lot. But they liked the opportunity to help Paul. But when they are given the chance to help Paul, Paul rejoices. Greatly because of relationship, or because of the agape. That's why I say agape is that what holds us all together. You may not like me. I may not like you. But what is like and dislike? It's a human feeling. Huh? Thinking that the brother or the sister don't do the right thing. Hey, that is human fraud. Right? And when you look, when I look at myself, when I look at you, what do we see? Come on. We see agape. We see God's love at work. Yes, Elizabeth? We look at God's work. Huh? God's love at work in our life. If it wasn't for that, you and I would not be here. We won't be here today, I tell you that. We'll be somewhere else. And I often think, I would be something else. I would be somewhere else. It wasn't God that pulled me away from education, from being intellectual, trying to be, you know, a teacher, you know, or a technician, want to do my things. God just pulled me down and make me a beast, made me like nothing. And I found myself, oh, okay, he picked me up to be a preacher. And I can't do anything else but to do what he wants me to do. And I believe that he is dealing with everyone, that he wants you to do what you ought to do. Everyone have a place in his body. Amen. The Lord bless all of you. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your grace. I thank you, Father. Thank you for the word of truth, Lord. And thank you for your grace once again in mercy, in love and virtue. Thank you most of all for agape, Lord. It is your agape, Father, that binds us all together. That holds us together. And without agape, Father, we will not make it in. Because at the top of the pyramid, Father, not just filial. Because the word filial is the capstone, and that capstone is Christ, and Christ is love, is agape. And it's all because of you, Father. So, Lord, I commit, O Lord, all that has been said to your hand. Bless our soul. Bless all out there, too, Father. Bless the Holy Word, in Jesus' name. Amen.